Hello, Cross. Hello, Potter's Hands. Good morning. Happy Sunday. Wow, I was cruising through the old authorized version. You know why the King James is called the authorized version? Because it was authorized by the King of England. And it's a great translation. It's not the only one. I use them all. And I was looking in some John 17 a little bit there. And where Jesus prays for us, and he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So we've been sanctified. If you read the Bible, you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You believe that he rose again from the dead, justifying you forever. Praise God. You could be sanctified daily, washing. Ephesians 5 said, washed. We're washed by the water of the word. Whoa.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good news. The good news, as my friend Don would say, is it's been done, friends. It's all been done on the cross. So, wow. So, without further ado, we're going to start. Don't you hate the time change? I hate the time change. Oh, anyhow, I'm just going to pray for Kit. Kit's going in for really delicate eye surgery. Just going to pray for Kit before we start. There's a men's retreat coming up. It's not really finalized. Talk to Elvin about that. There's a women's retreat, too. Talk to Crystal about that. Anyway, let's, what? Yeah, they have to let Crystal know this week if you want to go to the women's retreat. It'll be an awesome time of fellowship, koinonia, with the Lord God Almighty. Yeah, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Every word of it's true. Every word of God is flawless. You're a shield to those who take refuge in you. Father, thank you for this day, a day we can just praise you and worship you. And thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins on the cross. Wow. God poured out his wrath on you instead of us. Hallelujah. Father, we want to just lift up Kit to you this morning. God, we pray that you would just steady the doctor's hands, that you would just heal her eyes. You just remove what has to be removed there and just do it in a... You're an awesome surgical God. And Lord, we know that you open the eyes of the blind the whole time you're on the earth. So just open Kit's eyes and be with her. Shema, you're the Jehovah Shema. You're with us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your help in this. Help us to praise you in spirit and in truth this morning. Hallelujah. Amen.
God, we pray for a heart that burns for more stirring of your Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. God, for hearts that stand steadfast, waiting with patient confidence in our King's return. Mm-hmm. You are faithful, Lord. We know, God, that your power is within us. So help us as we rise to be your witnesses, God. Spirit, come and be in this place as we know you are. We welcome you, Lord. We are here to praise you this morning, Lord. May our praises rise to you as a pleasing and a pleasant fragrance before you, God. God, be lifted up today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's so good to be able to worship God. We learned a few new songs today, but boy, we sure were able to lift up our hearts and worship him and give him praise and glory.
Amen.
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 God is good. There's probably going to be some people showing up here in about 45 minutes. Congratulations, those of you who changed your clocks ahead. All those other people, they missed all the good worship. Right? Praise God. In about an hour, we have a potluck. And just invite you to stay for that. It's going to be a bit of a congregational meeting, and Don's going to lead that and share in some of the good things that God's been doing among us in our church. Sometimes, you know, it's important that we just take inventory. That's kind of what today is about. We take inventory. We remember that our prayers have been answered many, many times. We remember that there are people who are healed, who are among us. We remember that God has been faithful to his promises. Can you say amen to that? Good. Wait, I feel like I'm not just doing this all by myself. God is faithful to his promises. God keeps his word. God, you know, Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of his church. He is the Lord of his church. And we are privileged to be a part of his church. And when we look back over the last year, we just think about all the blessings, all the miracles, the answers to prayer, and the ways that God has kept his promise. And we, with one voice, we say, thank you, Jesus. Can you say that with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give him a big hand. Thank you, God. Yeah. God is good. So stay for that. At this time, though, I'm going to ask Brett to come forward. You want to come up here? About 6 months ago, we prayed over Brett, and this is Brett Beingesner. We sent him off to Global Prayer House in Medicine Hat. Remember that? And Brett is back, and I won't steal his thunder. I'm going to let you just say what God did and where you're going, okay? So let's give Brett a big hand. We're not just thanking, thank Jesus. He should be on.
Yeah, I was there for 5 months at the internship in Medicine Hat. And in the first 3 months, we did a lecture phase, and that was just where each week we'd have different speakers come in and speak about different topics. And God really challenged me into that, into growing and being expectant, coming with an expectant heart, and not just going in being like, I know what I know, so like I can go to the next week, but actually like being expectant of what God has new in that area. And he really like opened my eyes to the prophecy, learning how to prophesy, learning how to hear God's voice and speaking it into other people's lives. And he opened my heart to Revelations week as well in the end times, because I was always afraid to read that book, but now I'm excited to read that book and even like to pray into the end times and like bring heaven here on earth and to the new earth that God's creating. And God also challenged me to love myself. And that was something that we all, as the staff and students, we all wanted to go around and we had to share something we wanted to grow in. And for me, I wanted to grow in loving other people. But God told me, he's like, in order for you to love other people, you need to love yourself first. Just like love your neighbor as you love yourself. So God kind of convicted me of that. And yeah, throughout all the school, the 3 months, he really challenged me to love myself more. And it actually got to a point where I remember one morning we sat down and we were having a prayer room. So we have 45-minute prayer room in the morning. And we just, it's kind of a worship time to connect with the Lord. And I sat down with him, and I'm like, God, like, I can't do this. I can't be here. And I just started thinking of those, like, self-negative thoughts. And then, God, I started picturing myself, like, beating myself up. And God's like, I want you to picture yourself going through everything Jesus went through, like, to the point of dying on the cross. And so I started a picture of, like, being arrested, going through, getting whipped, getting beaten, having your like family and friends turn against you, having like everyone around you just wanting you like to die and to just be done with, and then having them choose Barabbas over yourself, and have going finally going to the cross, being whipped, getting nailed, and like having that last breath, and like it was just beautiful to see like what Jesus went through all for us, and then that just really encouraged me to step forward to share the gospel. And that was the next part where we were able to go on outreach. And God really challenged me as a quiet person to speak more, because I tend to be more quiet. So they really made sure that we were able to step out of our comfort zones and speak and just grow in those areas that the enemy tries to steal from us. So that was something I got to overcome, was that a stronghold in my life was just to be introverted, to not let my voice be heard, to like just kind of keep to myself, but God really pushed that and let me overcome that. Yeah. And then a last testimony of just what we saw in outreach. So we actually saw, we ministered to 10,000 people. It was about 2,500 gave their life to God, and then 500 healings, and then 80 deliverances. And then, yeah. And then, yeah. And then just the last testimony, we were at, it was one of our last churches that we shared at, and my friend Michael was preaching, and then I had to share my testimony. So I shared my testimony, and then he preached. And then after, we split up into groups, so there was only four of us there, but it was only me and Michael that were there to like pray over the people, because the other two had to go to do Sunday school. So he's like, okay, after I preach, we're going to pray over people, and then we'll just go after. And I'm like, all right, there's only two of us. Like, there's like 30 people. Like, I don't want to pray over that many people. So then we go, and then slowly people are coming up, and we're praying. And then these two young ladies come up, and they come up one at a time, and the one comes up, and she just opens up immediately, saying that, like, sharing about her life, being like, if her parents knew she was here, she would, like, they would murder her. If, like, her friends knew they were here, like, she'd lose all her friends. She's like, I feel completely alone. I don't know what to do. And I just stood there being like, I don't know what to do either. Like, all I could do is pray for you. So I laid a hand on her, prayed for her, and then she left. And then her other friend came up, and she's like, you can't tell my friend this, but my parents or my dad is abusing me, and my mom doesn't know. And so I ran away from home. And he said, if I come back home, and tell my mom that he'll abuse her. So then she's like, I just want prayer for that. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to, like, reach out and help. So I just prayed for her, and they left. And then we went on our day, and, like, I couldn't stop thinking about that. And I'm like, God, like, what can you do? Like, all I can do is pray. And then the next day I found out it was our last day of outreach and our last day of doing ministry. And they came to our outreach, our last open air meeting. And the one girl came up to me, and she's like, I need to talk to you. Everything has changed since yesterday. And I'm like, all right. So we do our open air. So we do our open air meeting, and then I kind of get distracted praying for other people. And then finally, actually Jasmine, you guys might have met her. She came during one of the mobile teams, I believe, here. Yeah, so she ended up ministering to them when I was ministering to other people. And then we kind of got distracted praying, going to different houses. Then we come back, and it's like super late at night. And then she's like, okay, I don't have time to talk to you. I have a letter. Here you go. But everything has changed. Talk to Jasmine. She'll tell you everything. So then I'm like, all right. So we go. And then me and Jasmine are driving home on a bike. And Jasmine's like, Brett, you have no idea what happened to those girls that moment after you prayed for them. The one that you prayed for and laid your hand on her, she felt completely free. As soon as you laid her hand on her, everything was laid off. She went home, preached to her family, the ones that didn't want her to be there. They became Christians. All her friends started becoming Christians. Yeah. And then she had, for that first night, that night, she had a dream from God, and she heard God's voice for the very first time. And then I guess the next day she just started ministering to people and, like, just going out. And Jasmine was saying, like, Jasmine was one of the smartest people on our team. Like, she's gone to, like, Bethel and all these. And she's like, she's asking questions I don't even know how to preach about or how to share. And she's like, literally revival started there. Like, it's good. Yeah. Thank you. Spoke to me, and it was in that moment where I was like, God, like, where I kept going, like, God, I can't be here, like, I can't do this. And he's like, in that moment, he was like, this is what you're here for, like, this is what I want to call you into. And so I'm gonna be joining the staff team in April.
I'm walking back, he keeps going further back, so. We were blessed, I think it was about 3 months ago then, when the Global Prayer House, their team was here. I know that we had like two Hannahs here and a Clancy, and I felt like I was in Little House in the Prairie or something, but we had a great time, great worship, and we just feel like we're sending you out. We're owning you, whether you like it or not. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we see Brett, you know, going on and carrying. What he's really saying is he wants to get into full time. He's going to do this on staff, be a missionary, fulfill this call that God has in his life. And I think we're saying yes to that, right? We're saying yes to that. We want to pray for him. We're going to do that this morning. And I know that, did you bring some stuff, just some information on how we can support you?
Yeah. Send it after.
Okay, do you have some here, though, if people ask you for it?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you are interested in supporting Brett financially, and even if that's $5 or $20, or if you want to do it once a month or some way, I think he'd be happy to receive that. Let's pray for him. Thank you, God, for this young man, and thank you for the hold that you have on him. Thank you, Spirit of God, for the way that you are developing his gifts of prophesying and the word of knowledge and just listening to you, even in dreams. And thank you for a good report today that when he prayed for these girls particularly, that there was such an amazing change in their lives. And we give glory to you for that, God. I know I needed to hear that today. I needed to be reminded that you still move, that you're still alive, and that you're still good, and that you answer our prayers, and that you have such power, God. So thank you for reminding us that today through Brett. And we just lay our hands on him. Why don't we just all lift our hands up, and we lift our hands to you, God, praying for this man of God, asking that you would equip him, that you will provide for him, and that he will go out in the power of God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, that there will be many hundreds of people who are healed and who come to know Jesus Christ through his ministry and through the word that he proclaims, that you will protect him, that your angels will surround him, that he will be a good team member and a team player, and God, that there will be great fruit. We pray for great fruit to flow from this. We send him out in the name of Jesus. We send him out, God, equipped with the gifts of your Holy Spirit that you've given him. We see, one thing I see obvious in Brett is just the fruit. The joy is contagious, his laughter and the peace that he has. So thank you, God. Let that be contagious to other people as well when they come in contact with Brett. We send him out in the power of God. And we just can't wait to hear more of what's going to happen in his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. God bless you. I wasn't kidding about that. I needed to hear that. I needed a little bit of encouragement. And, you know, sometimes we get kind of dry or we wonder, you know, what's God doing or if he's doing anything. Last week we talked about, you know, how in Kings, Elijah cried out, "Answer me." And he said it to God twice, "Answer me, answer me." And I understand that. I feel that way sometimes. I just want an answer, God. I just want to know what you're doing and what do you want me to do? How can I please you? What's missing here? Because in this world where there's a lot of this brokenness and we're dealing with a lot of hard things, sometimes it feels, at least to me, like I'm missing something or I'm not quite doing something right or, you know, something's just got to give so that it something breaks off and we see more results. We see more people set free. We see more of the power of the Holy Spirit that we know is true. So I'm just really encouraged by that. And we're going to talk more about this as I get into the Word. It's getting late already. Try not to preach too long because we got a lunch coming up together. I just felt like, though, I needed to still pray for you. I know we prayed for you already, Kit, but I need to lay my hands on you. God said to do that. So, Lord, for Kit, we join for our sister. We pray for our sister right now, and in Jesus' name, as she undergoes this surgery on, what day are you going to get this?
The 28th.
The 28th. We pray, God, for complete healing. We pray that you will be with the surgeon, that you'll guide his hands. Yes. We pray, Lord, that even though this is a delicate surgery, you are a great physician. And there is nothing beyond your power. So we just join our faith together and we pray for Kit. We ask for complete healing. We thank you, God, that you are so good. And we accept this, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And I just think it's so important that we don't miss these things. So I'm going to just share what you said, Dee. A couple of weeks ago, we prayed for Dee, and there was a very good chance that she was going to have cancer. The doctors were quite worried, and I know you had to wait for quite a while. Why don't you stand up here? Wait, I'm not standing by myself. And Dee told me this morning that the doctors have told her just recently,
2 days ago,
that
I have no cancer.
She has no cancer. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. No cancer. They checked the cells. There are no cancer cells, even though they were assuming that there would be cancer. There is no cancer. Our sister as well. And our prayers, the prayers of God's people have been answered. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to just thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
We say thank you to you, God. Thank you that you hear our prayers. We don't miss this today, God. We do not miss what you're doing. We do not miss that you hear our prayers and that you care so much for us that you want us to be well and healthy. Bless Dee. And we just give you, we can't even express our gratitude any better than this, God. We just love you and we thank you, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right on is right. I think we just got to keep encouraging each other with these words. That's what it says in the New Testament. We encourage those who mourn. I think of Jason and Samantha, and it was a difficult time yesterday, a hard service, but we're with you. And better than that, God's with you. He loves you. He loves you. He never leaves you. Just be strong. Amen? Yeah. Trust the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, another, I thought about that too at the service. It's such another indicator, another confirmation that we need some kind of a dream center. We need some kind of a place where we can help people struggling in their addictions, and that we can do it from a Christ-centered approach where Jesus is the answer and where the help that we get is a supernatural kind of help. Yeah. We're going to get going here. Read with me. We're going to go back to where we were last time in Kings. We were reading that story about the cloud. Anyone remember that? And then, and he said that, he says that there's a sound of heavy rain. You with me now? Remember that? Amen. There's a sound of heavy rain, Elijah said. And there hadn't been rain in the land for a number of years, it says. There hadn't been any rain in the land. It was very dry. Everything was parched. And it was because God's people, they were not following God. They were being disobedient. They were following idols. And God said, well, because of that, there will be no dew, there will be no rain in the land, until I say there will be. And in Elijah, after that showdown with the altar, remember, and there's the two sacrifices, the prophets of Baal against Elijah the prophet, where the prophets of Baal, they cry out to their gods, and their gods don't answer him or them. But when Elijah cries out to God, God answers, and He sends fire from heaven, and he eats up and destroys that sacrifice. Okay, so that's kind of the context. And we're going to just begin reading in verse 41. So Elijah said to Ahab, go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. And so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, and he bent down to the ground, and he put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servants. And he went up and he looked. There is nothing there, the servant said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. And the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising up from the sea. Did you get that? So Elijah's praying, right? He's sitting with his head between his knees. He's praying to God. He's doing what he's been doing all through this story, asking God to show himself, reveal yourself, answer your prayers of your people, God. And seven times he says to his servant, now go check. Go look in the western sky. Check the western sky. See if there's anything there yet. And seven times the servant comes back and he says, nope, nothing. There's nothing there. Go again, he says. And he goes again and he looks into the western sky over the sea. And he says, no, there's nothing there. And the seventh time the servant reported, well, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea. And so Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose and a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Now get this. And the power of the Lord, and the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Oh, amen. There's the power of the Lord. It even makes you run fast. It's a supernatural power. I mean, Ahab had a chariot. He had horses. And there goes Elijah. He's just trucking along and leaving old Ahab behind him, right? And he's saying, you better get moving. You know the rain's coming. You better get moving. There's no time to waste, because if the rain starts, you're going to get stuck. You're going to get stuck in the rain. I love the story of faith. I love the faith of Elijah. I love that he has no reservations, and you know, there's just sort of no plan B. Plan A is I trust God, and I'm going to listen to what God says, and I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to put my faith in him no matter what happens. Sometimes I think about the story of David, because I just read it with my grandkids the last little while. They love the story of David and Goliath. And I just finished reading it with them, and I read it with lots of drama and excitement, and they're like listening to it, and they love seeing Goliath get destroyed, you know. But I've often wondered why David, I know we're talking about Elijah, we'll get to Elijah in a second, but I often wonder why David got 5 stones to put in his little shepherd's bag, because he only needed one. Well, maybe. Maybe he was just used to doing that. You know, there was other times he had to fight a bear or he had to fight a lion, and he was used to putting more than one in the bag. Maybe he was just being sure. For me, it helps me to know that David was that human, that he took a few extra along, right? For me, it helps me to understand that, you know, David, I think he knew, you know, he's a man of great faith, but there was 4 other stones in the bag, and I got to be honest with you, sometimes I'm counting on those other stones in my life. You know, I want to have that kind of faith. I want to have a faith that is just single-minded, and it's trusting in God, but there are times when it feels good to have 4 extra stones, and then I'd like to be able to have them just in case I need them, because if I miss with the first one, and I've missed before, it's nice to have an extra one. I'm not trying to diminish David's faith by any means. I think he stands as a man who is just strong in the faith. But the reason why I share that is because when it comes to Elijah, there's no plan B. There is nothing else. It's just, I'm all in, God. I am all in. And when you say that you're going to send the rain, you're going to send the rain. And I'm going to sit here with my head between my knees until you do. Until you send the rain, I am not leaving. It's really what he's saying. I believe in you. I trust in you. So here we go, God. Send the rain. You said it would rain. You promised. I'm not going anywhere until it does. And he says to his servant, go check. And the servant says, check what? Go and check whether there's a cloud in the sky, he says. And he keeps praying. And the servant comes back. What did the servant say? What did the servant say? There's nothing there. And Elijah says, and I don't know how long he prayed. Maybe he prayed for half an hour. Maybe he prayed for 2 more minutes. He prays again. And he says, go check again. And Elijah's servant goes, checks up to the sky in the west. And he comes back to Elijah and he goes, there's nothing there. 7 times. 7 times. And I just admire the faith of Elijah that he doesn't go to plan B. He doesn't go to, well, maybe, you know, this was this, or this meant this, or this is just a metaphor, maybe it's not really going to rain, or he doesn't go there. He just says, keep going. Keep checking. Keep looking to the sky, because God said it's going to rain, and I'm going to believe this. I'm standing on this in faith. And finally, you know how the story goes, because we just read it. Finally, the seventh time, Elijah's servant goes and looks, and he comes back, and he says, well, yeah, there's something out there. It's like, it's just a little cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand. What's he really saying? He's saying, it's really nothing. I see something, but it's really nothing at all. And Elijah says, you better get going. It's time to get up. Tell Ahab to get moving, get his chariot horse. Let's get moving, because the rain is coming, and this is going to be the kind of storm that you've never seen before, and if we don't get going right now, we're going to get stuck here. I like that. Thank you, Jesus. How many times have we not heard in our lives, there's nothing there? There's that voice of faithlessness. There's that voice of saying, it's not going to work, or you don't amount to anything, or you're a loser, or your prayers won't get answered, or whatever. How many times have we not heard that voice that says, there's nothing there? There's nothing there. You can't trust in God. You believe in God, there's nothing there. You think that God's going to answer your prayers. You think that he's going to be with your daughter who's stuck in an addiction. Or you think that he's going to save you from the sickness or the illness that you've got. That's not going to happen. I mean, I grew up in a church where really that was sort of the main theme. You know, God is God. Just let God be God. Don't ask too much. You know, don't be presumptuous. Just accept everything that happens and be happy, you know? But there's no faith in that. It takes faith to say, no, I'm going to stand on the promises of God. Now, let's be clear about something here this morning. That doesn't mean that we're just standing on what we want or what's sort of moving or tickling our ears or our hearts. When we say that we are standing together in faith, we are standing on the promise that God has made, and when he's made it clear to us that he is going to bring the rain or he's going to answer prayer, or when this is in accordance with what his word says, that this is the truth, then we can say, yes, it is, and I'm not going anywhere. Amen. Until it happens.
Amen.
Until it happens. And I think that voice has been in our lives, has been in our churches for a long, long time, where we've heard over and over again, well, there's nothing there. It's never going to happen. People can never change. You know, we've heard this in so many different ways. We've heard this kind of a theme, right? You're never going to be used by God. You think that you might have a ministry? There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Look, there's nothing there. And I want to say to you today, God is a good God. Brett, there's something there. Amen? There's something there. I can see it in your eyes. There's something there. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. And you got to just pursue it. You got to do it. You got to follow him. And it doesn't matter how you feel or how hard things get. And things are going to get hard. They will. They will. There's a cloud in the sky. We miss it. We don't see it sometimes. We rather just listen to the voice around us that says, it's never going to happen. Whatever you think you need or whatever you think God will do for you, he'll never do it for you. We listen to that defeatist voice of unbelief. That's a voice of unbelief. And we need to stand against it and say, that isn't true. That is not true. Because I am going to put my confidence, I'm going to put my faith in God. Not in my pastor, not in my wife, I'm going to put my faith in God. And even if I got to go back to him 7 times, I'm going to keep going back to him, and he's going to show me. He's going to show me glory. God, it seems, has an affinity for clouds. He seems to like clouds a lot. I'm going to give you a few quick examples. And I get that. I understand why he likes clouds, because I like clouds. I think clouds are kind of cool. I think that you see them, especially when it's a big storm and they're swirling and they're doing all this choreography and there's power and there's darkness and there's all this stuff going on. Man, have you never had it before? You just look up and you watch it all moving and you go, this is crazy good. Like, wow. It's kind of like watching the painter paint live. Right? It's live. The mountains are like what he's done thousands or whatever years ago, but when I see the clouds, it's like I'm watching the painter paint live. And it's beautiful, and it reveals who he is, and it's majestic, and it's something that only God could make happen. It's so creative. Well, I'm going to give you some quick examples because I want you to know that God loves clouds and that he rides in the clouds. He rides in the chariots of the clouds, the psalmist says. Back in when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, we're told that they were led by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day. God led them through a pillar of cloud through the day. It says in Psalm 68, you're going to have to listen quickly because I'm going to do this kind of fast, but Psalm 68, sing to the Lord, sing praise to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice before him. He rides in the clouds. I don't know about you, but I like that picture of God. I love it that you just see God kind of like riding his chariot. And, woo-hoo! Hey-hoo! He's just having a great time. He's enjoying his creation. He rides in the clouds. Psalm 104 says, and he wraps himself in light like a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. Now get this. And he makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He rides on the wings of the wind. God loves clouds, and it seems like the clouds are his vehicle of choice. He likes to be in the clouds. He likes to ride them. He finds great joy in riding in the wind and riding in the clouds. When Jesus was ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1, we're told that he ascended how? In the clouds. That the clouds hid him from their sight is literally how Luke tells us that. He says that Jesus ascended in the clouds and that the clouds hid him from their sight. And it says that's exactly how he's going to return someday as well. Isn't that good? So we're going to see him enjoying the clouds one day when he returns. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It says this. It says, after he was taken up before their eyes, a cloud hid him from their sight. And then it says, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go. He's going to come back in the clouds. One day, brothers and sisters, one day the clouds are going to open up. And this same Jesus is coming down. He's coming down to redeem this world from sin once and for all. It's already been paid for by the blood of Jesus, but he's coming back to bring us home. He's coming again to declare, enough. No more tears, no more suffering, no more cancer, no more drugs, no more child prostitution. Enough! Enough! He's coming in the clouds. He's coming in that same cloud that, you know, we're going to get back to that little cloud that looks like a man's hand. We're going to get back to that in a minute, but I want you to know this today beyond any shadow of a doubt that one day soon, and I believe this day is coming very soon, that the signs are pointing more and more to the immediacy of Christ's return, that our Lord is coming. He's going to come on the clouds, and there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound, and everyone's going to know it. There isn't going to be anybody oblivious to this. The trumpet's going to sound, and the clouds are going to be opened up. It says in Mark, let me just read this to you. Man, there's so much I'd love to share with you today, and I will on other days. Mark 13:26. Listen to this. And at that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Isn't that great? He's going to come in the clouds, and the Son of Man will come with great power and with great glory. And in Revelation, just got this one last one, I'll stop here. In Revelation 1 verse 7, it says this, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Behold, he is coming in the clouds. He's coming. Our Savior's coming. He's coming in power, Mark says, and he's coming with glory. When Jesus was baptized, we're told that the heavens opened up, and there was a voice that boomed out that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The heavens opened up. And I believe that what God's word is saying to us today is that because of Christ, not because of the church, not because of you and me, not because of anything that we've done, but because of Jesus Christ, the heavens are opened up for us as well. Amen. That we live right now under an open heaven. We live under an open heaven that the clouds have been parted, and they're going to remain that way until he returns again. And what that means, because I live under an open heaven, is I have a personal relationship with God. Nothing is hindering my relationship with the Father because I have Jesus in my heart. I live under an open heaven. That means that I am able to receive the blessings and the favor that he chooses to pour down upon me because of Jesus. Not because I'm worthy, not because I've been a good boy or a bad boy, but because he loves me, because Jesus Christ has paid the price, because he has defeated the enemy. Amen? Amen. Because my sins are forgiven, I live under an open heaven. I live under an open heaven, and God wants to pour his blessing upon his church, upon us. And he's beginning to do that. We've been taking inventory of that. We've been talking about, honestly, some of the amazing things. And in our meeting in a bit here, Don's going to share and reiterate some of those things that God has been doing among us just in the last little while. Some stuff that we could never have dreamed of, things that we could never pull off ourselves, things that clearly need to be recognized as things that God is doing among us. Amazing blessings. We are living under, do we recognize this? We're living under an open heaven. Man, yesterday we had a meeting as a board, and we were talking about all the things that God's been doing, and we're talking about the Dream Center and how we're not even really working on this. And we're getting so much response to the idea of a recovery center that's Christian, that's centered on Christ. And Crystal was mentioning that she'd been to Calgary and been to Edmonton Dream Centers. Her and Linda went there, and they just wanted to see them. And that since she did that, we're suddenly getting calls from both Calgary and Edmonton saying, hey, how can we help you? We haven't even asked for help. We don't even know if we want any help, right? One lady, she said, we're coming through. It was like the 15th, right, of March. We're coming through. We'd like to see the building. Can we? And if you need some help fundraising, and we got people that want to be a part of this. So we think that we need one of these things in a place like this in Red Deer. How can we help? And Crystal goes, no, we're not ready. We don't even have a key yet. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. And honestly, that's about as honest a reaction, I think. You know, the truth is, do we know what we're doing? Man, we don't have a clue what we're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a clue most of the time what I'm doing. But I know God knows what he's doing. And let me be clear about something else, too. I'm not talking about here about the power of positive thinking. I am not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about faith in the power of God. Amen. And that's a different thing. And God is showing his power to us. He really is. And again, anyways, at our board meeting, someone said, you know what? God is, he just seems like he's way ahead of us on this and on so many other things. And I thought, well, that's really astute. And that resonates with me as true, that God is ahead of us. We're not chasing after him. We're not saying, come on, God. We don't have him on a leash. You know, come on, we want to do this. Come on, God. It's so much more than that, that God's going, I am leading the way. Come on, my children. Let me show you. I got some great things planned for you. You guys are going to have so much fun this year. He says, we're just going to come. Come on. I'm going to give you prophetic words. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore everything the enemy has stolen. Just come. God's ahead of us. God's ahead of us. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm going to end. Here's how I want to end it. You know, here's the western sky. And there is. There's a cloud, and it is rising in the western sky. It's small. It maybe only looks like a man's hand right now. But there's a cloud there. I believe that cloud actually has been there, and we've missed it for years and years. It's just kind of blended into the landscape. We haven't really noticed it, but that cloud has been there since Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. That cloud has been there. And it is a reminder to us that he is coming and that he's faithful and that he keeps his promises and that there is amazing hope for people like us who believe in him. But listen, we need to get going. We don't have time to wait for the rain to start. If the rain starts, it's too late. We need to be going ahead of time. We need to be moving in the Spirit. We need to be listening to God's word. If we're going to wait until the first raindrop hits, we've blown it. Your wheels are going to get stuck. And I believe this is the problem with the church today, is that we're just waiting, but we're in trouble. If we do not move right now, we're in trouble. Because the cloud grows so quickly. It grows exponentially. It doubles in size, and then it doubles in size, and then it doubles in size, and then it doubles in size. And before you know it, we better be ahead of the swell, or we are going to be buried in the mud. We're going to be buried in the mud. And what does that mean? Man, it means that the church needs to stand as one. The church needs to be one church. One church. Not 50 churches, not everyone building their own kingdom. One church, following the Holy Spirit, obeying the Word of God, and going where God is leading us today. And what else does it mean? Well, it means that, to be quite frank, we need to die to ourselves. One of the reasons why we're getting stuck in the mud is because we're focusing on me. Poor me. Wounded me. The me that nobody loves. The me that people don't include. Right? I can go on and that because I don't need to because I do this, so I think you do too. We get stuck. When we look at ourselves and we get so myopic that we're only seeing poor me, you know, what we're doing is we're doing what Elijah did, except we're going, oh, God, poor me. Nobody likes me, and I don't have any friends, and no one considers me for this or for that or whatever it is, right? But when we do that, we're not in any position to go where God says go. We're so caught up in ourselves. So I'm just going to end on this. I just challenge you today. You know, if that strikes a note for you, it does for me sometimes. So if it strikes a note for you when you go, you know, I've been focused on me a lot. Or I've been focused with the disunity that's out there. Those are just the ways that the enemy keeps us distracted so that we're looking at all kinds of other things and we are not seeing that the cloud is growing and it's time for the kingdom of God to be advanced. It really is. Time is now. I'm telling you, the time is now. One day, Jesus is going to be coming in a cloud. Mark, why don't you come up and play any song you know? One day, Jesus is going to come in a cloud, and he says he's going to come in power, and he's going to come in his glory. Well, will we be ready, or will we be like the five virgins who are not ready at all? They have no oil, right? The time to move with Christ is right now. And I'm going to just tell you this. And you believe it, whatever you want. You listen to what I'm saying, but God is doing something in the city. And then he is uniting this church, his church. That maybe the day will come and there won't be any names on any buildings. There won't be a potter's hands. There'll just be church or the living church or whatever you want to call it, but we're all the same. That the day is coming when Christ is going to, we're going to see even more salvations and healings and changes in people's lives than we've ever seen before. There's going to be a time when that harvest is going to be even more ripe. But you need to know, though, that in addition to that, there's also going to be a lot more persecution, a lot more wars, a lot more sickness, a lot more people who are standing against the enemy. There is going to be a time of great evil, but there's also going to be an opportunity for great good and for people to turn their hearts to Jesus. We are coming very close to that day. The cloud, you can see it. If you have spiritual eyes, you can see it. It is mounting. It is growing. It is growing. Don't miss it. It's time that we get moving before we get our wheels stuck. And that's what God says today. Thank you, God. Thank you for so much evidence. Even today, hearing Brett, listening to Dee's testimony, reminding ourselves that Anita has been healed, Lord. So many things that point to you. They point to that you are actively moving today. We want to be a church that just follows you as closely as possible. We want to build the kingdom of our Christ. And so, God, today we think about all that you've done for us, and we say thank you, and we say, Lord, lead us. You lead. You show us like a pillar of cloud where you're going and where you want us to be. And we will join together with all believers to lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen.
Lift up his countenance upon you, and God give you his peace. Amen. Go in the mighty power of our risen Lord. Amen. Don't go too far, though, because we're going to have supper. Go.